and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and I'm joined today by a very special guest. She's a lady who has got many strings to her bow. She's a psychic medium. She's a musician. She's a bit of everything. Amanda McHugh, how are you today,
hello,
Amanda?
Hello, Goff. I'm really good, thanks. That was a nice intro. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. So for those who don't know much about Amanda, tell us about yourself.
Well, I would probably now say first and foremost, I'm a mum and a wife, and but I have written a book on being a psychic medium, and that doesn't mean that's all I am, but I did write it because that is a big part of my life. And but I really love music, so I love writing music. And it's interesting because I think I channel half my songs anyway. Being a psychic medium, I can sometimes hear the words. Well, actually, a lot of the time I hear the words, so I won't lie. And so I would be a singer-songwriter, a musician, a little bit of guitar and uke and a few things like that. And do readings, do Reiki. I'm actually a trained psychologist and a trained counsellor as well. So I've done a few things.
Yeah, has anybody ever told you that nobody likes a show-off, Amanda?
My mum used to tell me that all the time. But actually, no, it's funny because as I got older, things always just were so easy for me, and I just always did them. It's really true. It really is. But then as I got older, it did become harder as I had the children and took on responsibility for other beings. And when my dad passed away, when I was 8 months pregnant with our son, I think my life got a bit harder from then. I had grief and the physical thing of the pregnancy and the aftermath and all of that. And then living on one wage and Mick working and, you know, doing an amazing job with his work. It was so good. And being an amazing musician that he is. And, I think challenges came then. Life wasn't as easy.
So I want to start off with the psychic medium aspect. Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who's a doctor.
Yeah.
And when they go to, whether it be a party or a gym or whatever, and they're meeting somebody for the first time and you're just having your usual sort of conversation when you meet somebody and the inevitable question, what do you do for a living? They always say they're retired because the last thing they want on their day off is somebody saying, well, I've actually got this lump or I've got this rash. Could you just... So do you do anything similar to try because I'm assuming people, as soon as you say, I'm a psychic meat, do me, read me. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, my God. That is so true. That is exactly what people do. And sometimes the energy that you get off people is like, oh, my God, you're a freak or you're a liar or there's something wrong with you or, oh, my God. Or the opposite, and they're like, oh, that's excellent. That really interests me. And they'll tell you examples from their own life or and then it can actually open up like a really wonderful conversation and like a sort of a depth of contact with someone, like connection, which is really nice.
So you've never thought of going down the I'm retired angle to stop those conversations before they start?
Actually, I went through a stage where I'd go, oh yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mum with the kids and help my hubby with his business. I write a few songs. I'm a poet. Yeah, I'm writing. I like to write. One day I write a book or something, you know, but then I had this friend for some time, and then she found out I was a psychic medium and she goes, why don't you tell me? And then I was like, oh, you know, it's a fine line for me. I have to, but a lot of people though, like you do get smart asses, like people who are a bit rude to you, and then they go, oh, right, you're going to tell my future or you can see into me and everything. And I'm like, oh man, like that's the last thing I want to do right now. I'm just, you know, because I'm very practical and I'm very like earthy and natural and really into like just being nice to people and being nice to my kids and kids in general and people. And yeah, I just like to write songs and sing songs and hang out. and occasionally if my gift is called upon, I will see someone and I'll do a reading, but I don't really do it as a business anymore, and I try not to because I get taken away. Like, it's like I live in fairyland and I want to be practical. I want to be here. I want to be solid and alive. I felt a lot of the time that I was, away with the fairies. And living in spirit land too much, like, I'm going to be there one day anyway. So I want to enjoy this body and this world and, you know, everybody in it. Yeah, so I don't want to be there too much, but I'll do it if it helps someone.
So you brought up a point earlier, which I think is quite interesting, and that is, I would imagine you're going to get one of three reactions when you tell people you're psychic. People, like you said, are going to be jerks. Mm. They're either going to be full on into it, or they're going to be healthy skeptics. Like, they're going to listen, hear you out, but, you know, they're on the fence a little bit. Yeah. So can you take us through what your reaction would be to all three types of people? Starting with the jerks.
Sometimes I can be, like, quite funny sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes, like, I just get really funny with people and I just have a laugh and I just don't – I try not to give a shit. So if you have a laugh with people and you're yourself – like, I'm from North Queensland. I grew up, you know, running around in cane paddocks and, I don't know, just hanging out, you know, like going to beaches and stuff. I'm not really – everything you see is what you get. So I don't really pretend. So if that person was a real asshole, then I'd be like, hey, man, like, fuck, I can't help what I have experienced in my life. Like, your life might be different. But, you know, for me, like, I walk into a lady's house and then I see her, I see these two little girls that are twins and I'm, you know, I say to her, it's actually a longer story than this, but I'm really, like, just reducing the story for you. But, like, then I say to the lady, you know, oh, why haven't you introduced me to your twin girls? They've been playing with me. And she starts sobbing her guts out and she's like, oh, my God, you know, my twin girls died at birth. So, you know, or someone came to see me recently and I agreed to do a little reading for her to help her through something. Her father had died. Now, her father came very instantly, actually, and he showed me a bird. Now, and then he showed me a bird in a bush and she goes, oh, no, that means nothing to me. And I went, okay. And then I said, well, now he's showing me Elvis. So he's literally showing me Elvis on the side, putting his hands through his hair. And I know it's Elvis. And I said, right, so I've seen a bird and I've seen Elvis. As soon as I said the word Elvis, she just went, oh, my God, I have a bird named Elvis. And my dad looked after my bird while he was alive, and then since he's died, I'm now looking after Elvis. So she, by showing a bird in a bush, it didn't mean anything to her until he got the name and gave me the name. But you see, if I meet a jerk or if I meet a skeptic and I tell them stories like that, like, I can't make up those stories. And there's these people that have been in those readings with me in those situations who can tell people, you know, Amanda did this. So,
and then what about the people who are just full on into? Does it get to a point sometimes where you're like, "Come on, let's just calm the farm"?
Yeah, they get pretty excited. Actually, I really like that. It's really nice. You have a really nice chat with people, and it's really connection. And usually, what I do is try and encourage them to just listen to their own gut and their instinct. And because some people, like, say, would want to keep asking me all the time to read for them, or so that's why I'm very private. I stay home a lot, or I read. I'm doing my own thing. I don't really encourage people, because my whole thing is for people to learn and understand that we all do this, and to empower themselves so they can hear their own intuition. They can feel it. They can hear it. They can, when they need to know something, they need to know, they'll hear it.
Well, that's an interesting point. So another mate of mine who is a big believer, they're of the opinion, and I'll get your thoughts, that they say that everybody has the ability to hear spirits and the spirit world, and it's just up to the individual, like myself or whatever, whether we choose to do so or not. Would you agree with that statement?
I definitely agree with that, I was at a party once, and it was my friend's son's 21st, and his granddad was there, and he was in his 70s, and he was piloting a small little mini plane many, many years ago, 30 or 40 years ago in Papua New Guinea, and it was so cloudy outside and foggy that he couldn't see. So he was absolutely piloting this plane through the controls in front of him, through the screen in front of him. He couldn't see an inch in front of the plane. he suddenly heard a voice scream in his head, pull up now. And he listened and he just did it. He pulled up the plane. And as he did, a bit of the fog cleared and he saw the top of the mountain and he literally cleared it within like inches sort of thing. And he was very lucky that him and his nine passengers lived. But he said to me, Amanda, like, why did that happen? Because that was one of those choices I made. I'm at this my friend's party and he came up and the granddad starts talking to me and he goes, what do you do? And I went, in my head, right, I did a calculation. Do I tell him? And something in me said yes. I said to him, I can't help this, but I see things before they happen or I hear people's dead relatives talk to me. And he just stopped and stared at me and told his story and it was absolutely gorgeous. And then he said to me at the end, why me? Why did this happen to me? And I said, I firmly believe we're all spiritual beings here, right? So we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. And some of us have this really strong, really deep connection and we keep it and we nurture it. Others of us maybe have never had the chance to do that or been shown it or like, you know, my mum was Catholic, so she took me to church. And I suppose that was my sort of first inroad into spirit. But I could hear spirits anyway before that. And I could hear people saying things to me, telling me school stuff, like how to do maths, how to do things at school. So, and showing me things. So one day, I think I was in grade six or something, and I saw this scene in my head one day, and it was my friends getting into trouble and where they were and what happened and all of the things that happened in the classroom. And it didn't actually happen, but then a few days later, it happened verbatim, word for word, the exact thing that I had been shown, and which was good because I was able to get out of the way and not get in trouble too, you know. But so I remember, yeah, just distinct things happening from childhood, and then it getting more and more and more, and yeah. So I think I do. I really agree with your friend that we all do, and it's just. I think if we would have been taught it in school or by people, we would all be, not going to say X-Men, but, you know, we could all benefit from it a lot. Yeah.
Now you said earlier that you've got a book out. Can you tell us about the book? What's the book about? And tell us about the book writing process.
Oh, God, yeah, that took like 8 years. I always knew since I was about 13 or so, I saw a great deal of books stacked up and I knew that I was going to write books that were going to help people and, you know, dare if I may say, help change the world in a good way, which is a dream of mine, to really add good stuff to this world. So my book is called Memoir of a Psychic, Trust Your Intuition and Thrive. You can get it on Amazon and all of that. Like, I made the ebook super cheap. It's about $2 or $3 just because I just want to get the info out there. And in that book, what I did was I just put heaps and heaps of experiences so that people can see all of the varied ways that our intuition can work. And so all the different things from seeing something before it happens. And there's some big things in there that I had seen before they happened, like when I lived in Ireland with my husband, you know, I saw that a bomb was going to go off in Madrid. And at that time, there was a lot, there were bomb raids going off and practices in when we were living in Dublin. There was a lot of the terrorism stuff had been sort of happening in the Western world. And so, yeah, we were sort of on high alert. And a voice, it's weird, but it is, it's a spirit voice, said to me, get a map, and Mick loved maps. So Mick had this lovely big map and it said, get a map, put your hands over it and we'll show you where the next bomb will be. And my hands went to Madrid and it felt, if there was energy there, it's hard to explain, but everything else felt blank and light and nothing, but there was dense, thick energy for Madrid. And I felt it was going to be about a year away. So what had happened with 9/11 is I had shaken for 3 days before it. And so I said to my husband, Madrid's going to be bombed, but I think I'm going to shake for 3 days. I think it's going to be the same and I'm going to know. And at the time I was really young. I was, I don't know, 30 or something. And I really didn't know that this wasn't like normal, like that not everyone does this. And I and it wasn't the time when you, like, you know, I'm 47 now, so that's a long, like really 17 years or so. So we didn't have iPhones and internet the way we do now. Like, we had a crappy old computer, you know. You couldn't just look up and go, oh, yeah, I'm going to email this and tell them that this is going to happen. It was really different times. So 3 days before Madrid was bombed, I started shaking in my chest. I just can't even describe it. It's like someone's grabbing my chest and shaking me. I know I'm not anxious. I had the most beautiful life with the most beautiful husband and a gorgeous daughter, and my life was so beautiful. And so I said to Mick, look, my chest is shaking the way it did with 9/11. I think Madrid's going to be bombed in 3 days. And he went to work. And 3 days later, he texted me from work and went, oh, my God, they've just, you know, bombed Madrid. So my chest stops shaking. And that's what happened with 9/11 too. As soon as I heard about it, a voice said to me, turn on the TV. And I was living in Ireland, and I turned it on, and there it was actually Oprah saying, oh, my God, the Twin Towers have just been bombed. And my shaking just stopped, and I went, okay. You know, I'm a psychologist, and so I know that I'm you know, I don't sort of make associations between things easily. I'm sort of quite a scientist as well. And so I realized at the time, I'm very, very sure that's very connected. And I had been in America that year of 9/11, and I had told two Americans that by the end of the year, the world was going to change as we know it, that I saw a big bomb. And I said to them, the world is going to be really different very shortly. And one of them sort of believed me, because he'd also seen me do some other stuff, see a girl's dead grandmother and a few other things. But the other guy was just, no, he was a hippie, actually, playing a didgeridoo in a national park with a little lap on. So, I probably should have taken his, like, negative statement about my prediction. I probably should have taken it very lightly. I probably should have believed myself more than I believed him. But I was only 26 when I saw that was going to happen. So
yeah. Where can people find the book if they want to go and I know you said Amazon, but is there any other places they can go?
Well,
and grab
it's funny you say that, because it was available on this other Australian platforms and stuff, but they redid their website or something recently, and my book got deleted. So I actually have to sort all that. But I have a website.
I was going to say, is there anywhere else where people can find you?
If they really want to, they can buy it directly off me off the website. Amanda McHugh Author. I hope that's what it is. Amanda McHugh Author. I'll tell you, I've been concentrating on my music for about the last 6 months or so.
So
I've been sort of forgetting, like, what I'm doing with my psychic stuff and my book. But it's still very important.
It's available for people to read and enjoy.
Absolutely.
Right. Do you want to just, again, just in case people want to write it down with the correct spelling, because spelling is important.
Okay. So, Memoir of a Psychic. You should be, M-E-M-O-I-R, yes, of a Psychic. And it says, trust your intuition and thrive. And it's by Amanda McHugh, M-C-H-U-G-H.
Fantastic. Now, you did say music is a big part of your life, which is wonderful. Music should be a big part of everybody's life.
Exactly.
But you're going to close out now with a song. Can you tell us what the song is, what it's about? And then before you do that, I'll just thank everybody, obviously. Well, firstly, thank you, Amanda, for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Gough. Thank you so much.
No, absolutely.
It's wonderful.
Oh, well, let's not. Awesome. I mean, I'm happy to take all the praise, don't get me wrong. Yes.
Take it.
And thank you, everybody, of course, for listening to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe and leave a friendly review. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is the only place you need to go for all your entertainment needs. That's beernutsproductions.com. So, Amanda, before we hear the track, why don't you tell us what it's all about? And then, ladies and gentlemen, Amanda McHugh.
So it's called Are You Happy? And I wrote it, I don't even want to tell you how old this song is, because for me it's an oldie. I'm like a real 70s sort of, you know, hippie folk chick.
You've already told us your date of birth, so
yeah, I realized as I said, I was like, oh, dude, you know, I was like, man. But anyway, so it's it's called Are You Happy? And I was a psychologist at the time, and a lot of people were coming to me for, you know, all sorts of different things and lots of help. And so it was really about those people. And there were a few people as well that I was thinking about, wondering, are they happy now? Are they, you know, are they enjoying their lives? And so that's where this sort of song came from.
I say, look inside and see.